going to title this message. It would be, I have a new daughter. I don't have time to prepare a message. So, amen. This is going to be a fun experience. But I will say this. I love looking at sunsets. I love looking at sunrises. And one of my favorite things is to watch the moon rise. Ever do that? Go out to Carolina or Wrightsville Beach and watch the moon come out of the... I guess it doesn't come out of the water, but you know what I mean. It looks like it does. And I was just talking to the Lord about that this week. And I was like, Lord, what is this fascination with looking at things, orbital things coming off the horizon? All I heard the Lord say was, you think you're excited when you see the moon rise every day? I'm so much more excited when I see you wake every morning. And I was thinking, it was like, oh, okay, that's cool, Lord. But I hit me this morning. I'm like, I'm a mess when I wake up in the morning, you know? My breath is not that great. I got the eye crusties, and I'm just not good. And the Lord is just there. Yeah, he's awake. He's awake. Cannot wait to see what this guy's going to do today. I love him so much. And I just hit home when I see Micah May in the morning, and I'm that way. And then at night when I see, you know, when the sun goes down or whatever, it's beautiful. And the Lord's there again, like, yeah, it was a great day. Let's do this again tomorrow. And he's just there. And we're not doing nothing. We're not raising the dead. We're not praying for the sick. We're just being his. And he's like, yes, this is why I made you, to be mine, to be loved. For me to just look at you and enjoy you. And just be. Ah, man. Point number one. Take that one home. So, that was not the message. My message actually came to me this morning. Because I had attempted three times this week to sit down and get some really deep stuff. Because Marshall's so deep. He teaches stuff and we're like, whoa. Dang, I've read that story 1,000 times, and now Marshall comes and says it, and it's all cool again. So I was like going through my deep notes, and I had 3 attempts this week that I actually set aside time. You guys ever set aside time to do something and it doesn't go the way you thought it was going to go? One time I sat down, and I opened up, you know, a little Bible roulette and opened up to the scripture about the withered fig tree. I'm like, oh, gosh. That's not going to preach. Not this Sunday anyway. So I'm still chewing on that. And then the kids woke up. The next time I sat down, we've been doing a lot of stuff on prayer. You know, it's been great. And so I opened up one of my favorite authors on prayer. A guy named Ian Bounds. It's like, all right, I'm going to get some deep stuff from him today. So let me read you what I got from Ian Bounds that took my whole deep session on a different course. It is impossible for the preacher to keep his spirit in harmony with the divine nature of his calling without much prayer. That the preacher, by dint of duty and laborious fidelity to the work and routine of the ministry, can keep himself in trim and fitness is a serious mistake. Even sermon making, incessant and taxing as an art, as a duty, as a work, or as a pleasure, will engross and harden, will estrange the heart by neglect of prayer from God. The scientist loses God in nature, and the preacher may lose God in his sermon. So I shut the book, and I was like, okay, there goes that plan. I was about to just try to just study for a couple hours, and the Lord was like, no, just kind of want you to pray. I just kind of want you to get to know me a little bit more. I don't really care too much about your deep stuff. I already know it all pretty much already. I'm not going to say anything that the Lord's going to be surprised by. So as I read that, I did spend the whole rest of the day thinking about my prayer life. Kind of thinking about how much my prayer life has changed since the time I was, I think I started praying about the age of 15, honestly, like really praying. It was a pretty shallow prayer life. I remember praying about my, the girlfriend at the time, or the girl I liked at the time was about my prayer life then. And I remember having this prayer thing that I did with the basketball. And I was like, okay, Lord, if I make this shot, Lauren Murphy will be my girlfriend. Oh, before I take the shot, there has to be a consequence so I know that this is real. So if I miss the shot, I have to run a lap around my neighborhood. So that was... So that was my prayer life in the early ages. You know, I was kind of giving it to God, and I remember having a dialogue with the Lord, and it wasn't necessarily the best thing, but you know what? That's pretty good for a 15-year-old with all that they got going on, you know? So I ran a lot of laps because I wasn't that great at basketball. So a more, I guess, spiritual kind of prayer life in my early 20s, I got training by some of the best prayer people around. I've got training for how to pray for the sick, how to pray for deliverance, how to pray models and things. And you know what? God took that type of prayer, and I saw some pretty cool things happen. I'm not going to lie. I remember praying for somebody at the mall. They got delivered. Right at, it was Independence Mall at that time. I'm not sure what it's called now. Went to Haiti. Saw people get delivered. Went to Africa. Saw blind eyes open. And I wasn't even like feeling anything. But it was prayer for me. You know, I went from praying for who my girlfriend was going to be. And now I'm getting more mature. And now I'm praying for blind eyes and stuff to get open. And now... Not that I love to see all that and I pray for the sick still, but there is a different way about my prayer life, and it is this. My prayer life doesn't demand results anymore. My prayer life develops relationship. And I believe that is the heart of prayer that we've been hearing from Marshall for months, and I think as people have shared, that is what I feel like is the heart of prayer. It develops our relationship with the Lord. That is the only thing when I get into my prayer, I'm sure I have my list. I have the things I'm praying for. But I'm no longer driven by the act of prayer as much as I am the life of prayer. You know, there are some cool things that we can pray for and some awesome things that we'll see. But I'm reminded of how Jesus sent out the 72, sent out the 12, then the 72, and they saw crazy stuff. But then in chapter, I think 11, he comes up and says, now teach us how to pray, the disciples. It's like, what? I'm like, that's kind of like my life. I feel like the Lord, I'd been sent out and I saw these cool things, but now I'm back at this place at 35 years old. God, teach me how to pray because I know there's something more to this than just seeing all these cool acts as the result of my prayer life. And then he invites them into this heresy, if you will, of... When you pray, start off like this, my Father. What? You want me to join you in the thing that's making everybody else mad? You're calling yourself the Son of God, and you want me to join with you? And he's inviting them into developing a relationship that's more than just doing cool things, but actually being a son and a daughter. Because if you notice, I was noticing this about prayer. My prayer life, because I did the training, and there was this list, and I remember looking up scientific things, so when I'm praying for specific things, like, I could get real specific, I command the 95th vertebrae that's to, and I'm like, what? You don't see any of that in scripture. You don't see them, like, becoming scientific, you know, whatever the word is, what is this, anatomy people. You know, I see Jesus, like, doing crazy things, like telling somebody who's dead to wake up or doing a little spit in the dirt, you know. And then even the disciples are in this thing where, like, you know, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have I give you in the name of Jesus. And this crippled guy gets healed. And there's no long, elaborate prayer. And I'm thinking, they must have been doing something in prayer that I'm not doing because they're not really even praying right now. They're just kind of doing stuff, and it's working. And I got to thinking, what if they're spending that time in the secret that we sang about, getting to know, not only get to know it, to know God, but get to know God's ways. So when they see the crippled and they know the ways of God, they're not having to go through the whole list of anatomy and all the reasons why his legs might not be working, but they're just like, man, my Father just really wants them to be well. My Father just really wants them to be loved. And I don't have to psych myself out anymore because they spent that time developing that relationship. But now they're not praying. I'm just like, I don't have any money, bro. But what I do have, I give it to you in the name of Jesus. The guy got up. I'm telling you, the other way worked for me. I'm not going to lie. It worked. When I was praying, I saw some results, but I was like, that is way cooler. That's the stuff I want. It's like effortless, weightless, fun. I'm like going through my mind of every possible reason why legs don't work. I'm just like, I just know that Father wants them better. And that's what I'm going with. So that happened. And then that happened with Ian Bounds. In my third attempt, let's go to my third attempt to have some deep time with the Lord. That was last night. We decided we wanted to get our Christmas tree nice and early because Mike and May's here and we love Christmas tree smell in the house. So we got the Christmas tree all excited. All's going well. Braxton and I are there. We're doing good. Get the special Christmas tree water with the whatever that stuff is they sell you. That's probably a gimmick, but we buy it anyway. It's because we want the tree to live longer. We mixed it all in there. Got about 64 ounces of water in our Christmas tree. Got it all decorated, lit up. And I'm like, all right, after this, the kids are going to go to bed. I'm going to spend some time the night before because it's going to get real good because I still don't really have anything. And we're just sitting there watching. We're actually watching a Operation Christmas Child video on YouTube. About 2 minutes into this thing, the whole tree falls over in the living room. The whole tree, the only ornament that broke was this glass ornament that had sand in it with like seashells and stuff. So there's like sand on the ground. All 64 ounces of special water is all over the floor. And my heart's racing. I'm like, what is going on? Micah May starts to cry. And it's like pandemonium and chaos at the Lingner house. And our friend Alex is coming over. His mom's dropping him off. And I'm like, and I all of a sudden I have this pressure. Got to get this house clean. I could not have one of our friends come and see our house crazy like this. So we're going, we get it all. I have to wind up bungee cording the tree to the thing because the base isn't right or something. I don't know. So there's a bungee cord holding it up. Is the tree still standing right now, babe? Is the tree still? Oh, you're not even listening to me, right? She's not listening. We're in trouble. Oh, that makes it better. The tree's still up? Okay, good. It's up by a bungee cord. So our friend Alex comes over. His mom comes in, and we're all sitting, sipping our nice coffee, relaxed, the beautiful tree. She had no idea that 10 minutes before it was complete chaos in her house. And we were like, nah, look at our house. It's all in order. And sometimes the Lord reminded me this morning, you just got to get on your phone. You got to call, bro. Travis, man, my tree fell, man. Whatever it is. Because we try to hide. We got to lament a little bit. Remember that? We talked about that last week. We got to lament. We got to talk about what's going on in our lives. And the Lord reminded me this morning that sometimes in life your tree falls over. And nobody expects you to have a perfect house without 64 ounces of water and broken bulbs all over. It's okay sometimes. Let somebody in. Tell them your tree fell over. You guys, tree's an analogy for whatever's going on in your life, whatever's going on in your heart. You guys are, there you go. There you go. Go, guys, good, yeah, good. So yeah, my tree fell over last night. And again, my opportunity to get some really good deep stuff for today's message went out the window. Because I was exhausted by the time I set the tree up the second time. And I'm a big guy. I'm like under there trying to wrap a bungee cord around and tie it. And boys, hold the tree. Braxton falls off the couch. Why are you falling off the couch? The tree hurt. Oh, it was crazy. So I was exhausted. And I wound up going to bed. No, we had to give Micah a bath. Anyway, I didn't do any deep studying. I think I was like, God, please don't let this suck tomorrow. Good night. And I fell asleep. It's being real, right? So then I got up this morning, and I was like, Lord, I don't really have anything. Just have three failed attempts to get something deep for our church today. And the Lord said to me, let this last week be your message. And I got to thinking about what happened when Marshall asked me to speak. That was last Saturday. Marshall asked me to speak last Saturday. My heart, my mind, my spirit was seized with every feeling of unworthiness that you could possibly imagine. My mind remembered every single wrong thing I'd ever done. I began to compare myself to people who have spoken up here before. I don't even have a cool accent that people would want to listen to. I don't run marathons like my girl Melissa, because that's all. I love hearing about that stuff. I just start comparing myself. I'm just being real. And then the Lord started reminding me of, not the Lord, the Lord started to remind me of something that he had shared with me years ago that I had forgotten. All this happened right when the enemy dealt me the final blow. You know what? It was probably more myself than it was the enemy, but the thought of my past just crushed me. The thought of standing right here. The thought of standing in front of you all today just wrecked me. And I was starting to think of every way that I could get out of this. Sorry, Marshall. Micah May has had a rough night. You're going to have to find somebody to pinch it for me today, but I can't pray. Whatever it might be. And the Lord reminded me of 1 Samuel. You guys are like, yes, he's finally talking about the Bible. We're going somewhere deep now. 1 Samuel 17. Sir David triumphed over the Philistine giant with only a stone and a sling. And since he had no sword. Doesn't sound very prepared. Since he had no sword, he ran over and pulled Goliath's sword out from its sheath. And David used it to kill the giant and cut off his head. What the heck does that have to do with you feeling like you can't get over your past, man? So funny, Paul was singing today. I was like on the drums, like, oh my gosh, he's singing a part of my message here. He was talking about that sword was a weapon, our Thanksgiving was a weapon. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, this thing. The sword that was meant to kill David is what he used to bring huge victory to his nation, right? That sword had a purpose to slay this little guy and let the Philistines run rampant in his country. And it says that David took the very sword that was meant to destroy him, and he brought about the biggest victory you could imagine. And the Lord was like, that's you. Sometimes what you need for victory is in the enemy's sheath, and you just got to get it. So right now, I want you to think about, what is that thing? Because you know what? When I go surfing, I don't feel any feelings of unworthiness. I go to play ping pong, I don't feel mental warfare. Play tennis, it's all good. I don't have any of this going on. I don't feel like I'm some sort of loser. I'm having a great time. But all of a sudden, this thing came up. And all of a sudden, this warfare came over me. So pay attention to where you're getting this resistance. Pay attention to resistance in your life. What is it that you feel that as soon as you start stepping into it, oh my gosh, you're overwhelmed with it. I feel like the Lord wants you to know that that thing that is trying to kill you, the thing that you feel all the resistance in the world to not do, just like that sword that was meant to kill David, put it in your hands and you will see some crazy victory. Don't whine. Don't complain about it. Be like, yeah, resistance, baby. There's a sword right there that I don't have and I can go get that thing. That happened within the first couple hours of Marshall asking me to do this. I guess the last thing is this. It's a part of my prayer life that I want to share with you all. It's been more of, I've never really thought about praying this before, but it's in Daniel, I think it's in Daniel 3, where Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego this message does not actually have like a direction. Just hopefully you guys will pick and choose what you need. To leave the rest here or give it to your neighbors. But Daniel 3, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego happened. And they're, you know, being forced to bow, right? They're being forced to take a knee to this statue or whatever. And there's a scripture that I always loved. It's one of those things where you like it, but then you read it in a different mindset. And this has been like my new way of praying recently. And I just want to pass this on to you all. It's in Daniel 3. Here it is. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to Nebuchadnezzar, "We do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. He will rescue us from your power, your majesty." Verse 18, this is the one that just has changed my prayer life, though. "But even if he doesn't, your majesty, your majesty can be sure that we will never serve your God or worship the golden statue you have set up." Now, how does that have to do with prayer? I start praying this way, God. I really want to get to this place that I feel like I should be at. But even if I stay right where I'm at, I'm not going to bow my knee to the thought that you're not as good as I believe you are. And you just start filling the blank. God, I know you are completely able. Our God is able to heal whatever it is that you're asking for to be healed. But then there's that but in verse 18. "But even if you don't, I'm not going to bow my knee to the lie that you are unable and that you're not for me. Because the point of my prayer life is to get to know you. So whether I'm going tomorrow with that sickness or without that sickness, I want to have it or not have it, and I want to know you more as the result. Lord, I know you're able to give me that contract that I bid on, but even if you don't, I'm not going to bow the knee that says that you are not a provider that gives me more than enough for me." Because sometimes our faith is challenged by prayers that don't come out the way we want them to, right? But I love the faith of these men. It wasn't a contract on the line. It wasn't a hurt back. It wasn't a family member. It was their lives being thrown into a fire. Nebuchadnezzar, our God is able, but even if he doesn't, I'm not going to bow my knee to your statue. And I feel like there are times in my life, I know, where that temptation rides up, and I'm praying for it, and I just start building my hope on the answer to that prayer and not the God who answers the prayer. I start getting excited because I know if I'm praying it and my heart's right, then God's going to come through, and all of a sudden that stress I used to feel is gone because I know God can. And then that prayer right there just changed everything for me. Even if you don't, I'm still going to worship you just as hard. Even if you don't, I am still going to declare your love to my children. Even if you don't, I am still going to believe that you are a God who is better than any of my wildest dreams could ever come up with. I will not bow the knee to whatever it is that's trying to set itself up in my mind as a result of a prayer answered or unanswered. Because at the end of this, I'm getting to know you more. I'm developing this relationship with you, Lord, and I'm not demanding results. Woo! And that was my week. This all happened this past week. So I just feel like I was really just supposed to share with you some of the things that I dealt with from last Saturday till this morning. Let's just stand together and pray. I'm ready to just pray together. I know there's a lot of things that we can pray on. And, you know, maybe let that verse from Daniel shape your prayer a little bit differently than maybe you've been praying recently. Lord, the cry of our heart is to know you more today than we did yesterday. The very center purpose of our life, Lord, is to know you and to know your great love for us, Lord. So I pray, Lord, today as we experience life here at Morningstar on this date, at this time, Lord, that you would just reveal a little bit more of yourself to us in the middle of whatever it is we're praying for, in the middle of whatever resistance we're experiencing, in the middle of every unanswered or answered prayer that we've asked, God, let the cry of our heart be that there is nothing more priceless than knowing you, Lord. We have a single focus, and it's you, Lord. So whether we carry today's burdens into tomorrow or not, Lord, we want to know you. And we know that you will give us the strength to carry them. Lord, I know it doesn't always come out the way I want it to. And I know that prayers don't get answered the way I want them to. I know the direction of my life takes turns that I don't want it to, but I know every single turn, you're right with me. Lord, I know that sometimes Christmas trees fall. Messes get made. And you never lose your place at the center of our family, the center of my life. You give us the strength to clean up the Christmas tree and tell the story the next day. Pray, Lord, that every single one of our fallen Christmas trees would encourage somebody today, that we would have the grace to share those moments. Lord, not only will we be the ones who talk about our weaknesses, but we would go the next level, like Paul said, and actually boast about them. That somehow, in the foolishness of boasting in our weaknesses, Lord, this world would know you. Our family would know you. Our friends would know you.